Let's get you ready for your upcoming fantasy football draft. We're joined by Jeff Erickson, expert at RotoWire.com. For two decades, the industry's premium fantasy sports resource. Let RotoWire help you win at fantasy football. They have all the draft kit information you'll need to dominate your league, and you can even get a free 10-day trial right now at RotoWire.com/free. That's RotoWire.com/free. Jeff, it's Darren Pritchett. A pleasure to talk to you. How are you today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for your time. For many years, Jeff, there's been a common theme we have heard. If you're going to win your fantasy football league, you have to take a running back in the first round. You have to have good depth at the running back position. The NFL's become a throwing league. A lot of wide receivers now have added value. As you go into this year's fantasy football draft, how would you assess the first round depth at the running back position, and how important is it to get one of the best guys?
You know, it's interesting. It has been turned on its ear a little bit because it has become more of a passing league, and also because a lot of teams now are going by running back by committee by design. They want to have some redundancy because of injuries. They don't want to, you know, we don't see the bell cow running backs as often as we used to, where, you know, you used to see like 10, 15, 300 carry running backs, and that just doesn't happen anymore. Our highest projected carry guy this year is David Johnson. We only have him for 278. And that, you know, it's pretty common. We saw DeMarco Murray a few years ago have over 300, and then he had a down year the next year. And, you know, there's a lot more metrics being applied by teams, and they see that, you know, if you overuse the running backs, you're going to, you know, there's not a whole lot in terms of long-term value there. Now, sometimes some teams will opt to go ahead and go with that anyhow. It's almost a conscious decision to just go all out one year, but usually there's diminishing returns. So I think now you're kind of seeing about half the first round go running back, the other half wide receiver, whereas before it used to be about nine running backs and three receivers. So it's kind of changed.
Jeff, a few years back when Deflategate was going on and Tom Brady was facing that suspension to start off the season, in the draft I was in anyway, he dropped fairly late, fifth, sixth round, something like that. Now you've got Zeke Elliott going into this year's draft. No suspension announced yet, but he could be facing one as well. How does that maybe affect how you would approach drafting him?
That's pretty much been our big talking point in the fantasy industry and our various shows and websites all along, is what do we do with him? And, you know, last year, Le'Veon Bell is a pretty good guide to what could happen. He, you know, Bell dropped a lot, like end of the second round, beginning of the third round in some extreme cases, and whichever team got him got a windfall. Because what happens is you replace him with someone else for those couple of games in suspension, and you're still getting max effort for those remaining games. And for that matter, you know, with them playing a couple fewer games, there's less exposure, less chance of an injury. So it's kind of spun in a way that's actually in favor of the running back that in those particular cases, at least. So I've seen Elliott drop from 3 overall to 6 overall. That's as low as I've seen him drop. I haven't seen him drop out of that. Now, we'll see when they eventually announce something. They've already said they're not going to do anything today or over the weekend. So I know fantasy owners are getting impatient, but they want to make sure they have all their ducks in a row before they make any sort of decision.
Jeff Erickson, expert at RotoWire.com, our guest, talking fantasy football on WSBT Radio. Jeff, when you analyze the rookies in the National Football League at the running back position, these are guys, there may be a few that can go later rounds that could be steals for fantasy football owners. Is there a rookie or two you really like, and maybe a buyer beware rookie?
So we always look at the running backs when it comes to rookies first for terms of production. They typically get it quicker, and it's a position of opportunity. So a lot of people are buying in on Leonard Fournette. I've seen him go as early as the 12, 13 turn end of the first round in your standard fantasy league, followed by Christian McCaffrey, and then Joe Mixon. And Mixon is my buyer beware, and it's not because of him. It's not because of his off-the-field transgressions in the past. It's because of the Bengals' offensive line. I think it's going to be a shaky offensive line. It was shaky last year, and then they lost their top two offensive linemen. Andrew Whitworth went out to the Rams. Kevin Ziegler went to the Browns, and Ziegler is one of the best run blocking guards in the league. And I think they're going to really struggle with their replacements there. So I'm a little tepid on Mixon compared to his cost, which is the third round of most fantasy leagues.
When you look at the tiers of the running backs, Jeff, how would you kind of break it down? Your first, second, third tiers.
Well, there's a big three. There's the obvious big three, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Zeke Elliott. And then there's the other remaining first-round backs are in a separate tier, and that's Jay Ajayi, Melvin Gordon, Devonta Freeman, LeSean McCoy, and Jordan Howard. And those guys, you know, the ranking there kind of varies from, you know, from person to person. I personally have Ajayi ahead of those guys, but I've seen Freeman go earlier than that. I've seen Gordon go. And I have seen, you know, McCoy is probably the most common one to go. And usually that spot is the eighth or ninth pick overall in the draft. Because there's three big running backs, there's three big receivers. Then there's A.J. Green, and it depends on what you do with Mike Evans. It depends on when those next string of running backs usually go.
Jeff, when you think about certain situations right now in the NFL at the running back position, do you ever just take a look at a situation and say, you know what, I just don't see value, I'm going to avoid those teams because maybe there isn't a guy that stands out, maybe there are multiple players. I think we've seen years, the Patriots, they'll have three or four guys, and over a four-week span, different guys will have success. So as you go into this year, is there any team you look at the situation, just say, you know what, I'm going to avoid it altogether?
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned the Pats, because the problem is we can't avoid them because they're too productive. Garrett Blount scored 18 touchdowns last year, and, you know, he was a windfall. He was an eighth or ninth round pick last year. Now, this year, Mike Gillisley has become the trendy guy. I've seen him go as early as the late fourth round. And, you know, there are four running backs that are potentially viable for him, and that makes it really difficult. Like you said, it's a different guy every week. I've seen, you know, I think it goes Gillisley, then I go James White, then probably Rex Burkhead over Deion Lewis, because Lewis's health issue is the thing that concerns me. In terms of a running back situation I'd avoid, I kind of avoid the Ravens a little bit. Danny Woodhead in a PPR league is going to have a lot of value. He's going to catch a lot of passes. But Kenneth Dixon hurt. That actually gives us some clarity. It's going to be Terrence West and Danny Woodhead. But Woodhead's coming off a torn ACL, and Terrence West has never averaged more than 4.0 yards per carry, and usually it's well below that. So I'm kind of straying away from that one there.
Jeff, you talked about those rookies. Are there any sort of mid to late round sleepers at running back that maybe we should be thinking about?
I like Donta Foreman for the Houston Texans. I'm fading Lamar Miller this year. I don't think he can withstand like the regular carries. You saw him fade a little bit last year. And I like getting Foreman. You can get him like 13th, 14th round. I think there's a lot of upside. And he's dropped a little bit because he had an arrest in the offseason for a marijuana possession. And during that stop, he had a gun possession, but it turns out he was licensed for that. So we'll see how that one plays out. But I believe in his ability to be a three-down back, so I like grabbing him late. And I don't necessarily want to pair him with Miller. I'd rather take a chance that Miller loses his job and draft somebody else in that spot.
Jeff Erickson, expert at rotowire.com, our guest. I have one more running back question, and that centers around handcuffing. And that, of course, for people that draft fantasy football teams, if you have the Cowboys running back, you can draft the backup and secure yourself. Jeff, do you have a philosophy? Do you like handcuffing the running back you've already drafted, or do you try to find the best handcuffing situation?
So it's a great question, because I think it depends. For me, I like to, in a couple situations, one where you have an at-risk running back, albeit in a good situation. So, you know, Lev Bell was a great example. D'Angelo Williams, you had to pair the two together. Zeke Elliott, I would pair him with Darren McFadden, for sure, because, you know, you're risking a couple games being out there. A guy like, you know, as I said with Lamar Miller, I just don't like Lamar Miller that much, so I'm not going to handcuff him and Foreman together. I will speculate on Foreman. So I think it's two situations. One where you like the original starting running back, but might be in a little bit of a risk. And two, there's a clear-cut backup. I think that's the other thing you need to pay attention to. For instance, Tennessee's perfect as a handcuff. If you want to go ahead and get DeMarco Murray, you know, that's fine, because you can get Henry with him. You know that Henry's going to be the backup, and Henry's going to play more than your average backup anyhow. He's actually a guy you can use in bye weeks, Derrick Henry is, and he has some pass-catching ability, so there's a clear line of succession. And the Tennessee offensive line's a very good offensive line, so it's a positive situation all around. So that's where I'd like to go ahead and do that. I'm not going to speculate on, you know, like the Bears' backup, because I think Jordan Howard's the clear number one, and I really don't feel like I need to back him up with anyone.
Well, and I'll kind of follow, and this will be my last question on the running backs following that then. If you're looking at the Elliott situation specifically, would you feel comfortable with Elliott as a high first-round guy, knowing that you're going to go out and get McFadden later on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I don't want someone else in my league to get the windfall. If I'm sitting anywhere between 3 to 6, and it's no more, you know, overall in the draft, I'm going to take them unless they announce it's going to be a longer than a 2-game suspension. That would be my caveat. If it's like a 4-game suspension, then maybe I would for sure push him down, because then you're passing up too much value. And McFadden's health history in the past isn't that strong.
Right.
So, you know, for 1 or 2 games, yeah, give me McFadden for a couple games. I'll throw him in there. But after that, if it's a 4-game suspension, then I'm going to probably go ahead with one of the big 3 receivers or even A.J. Green over Elliott.
Jeff Erickson, expert at rotowire.com. Get a free 10-day trial at rotowire.com/free. Quickly to the tight end position. How long is your list, Jeff, of elite tight ends in this fantasy football draft?
Well, I think Gronk is his own tier. I think Travis Kelce is on that next tier. I think Kelce has closed the gap, especially in what we call points per reception leagues, PPR leagues, because I think he gets more targets. Now, Gronk gets more in the red zone, gets more touchdowns, but he's also never makes it through a full season without getting hurt. So I almost never get Rob Gronkowski, but I think then the solid second tier of Jimmy Graham, Greg Olsen, Jordan Reed exists. And then I think there is a big pool of guys you can mix in there after that. So if I don't get one of the big 5, I'm going to wait really long on getting a tight end.
What's the other side of that, though? If you can get Gronk or Kelce potentially, what's the earliest you would go in on one of those guys?
I'll go for one of Graham, Olsen, or Reed in the 5th round. And if that doesn't get it done, then so be it. I'll pass. I'll wait. And I won't take as much as I love Tyler Eifert's ability, I just can't trust the health. He's missed way too many games so far. I put Eifert in that tier if I knew he were going to play 16 games, but nobody knows that. So I feel like you have to give him some sort of discount. And then next tier, I'm waiting till 9th or 10th round to take a tight end usually if I don't get one of the top 5.
My final question for you, Jeff, I was going to actually ask you about Eifert and Kyle Rudolph, a pair of Notre Dame tight ends in the National Football mm-hmm. League. You just talked about Eifert, so let me just go to Kyle Rudolph. Had a nice year last year. Quarterback situation in Minnesota, a little off and on. Your thoughts mm-hmm. on what Rudolph might be able to do this year?
Well, I think you'll see more of the same. I mean, he's a red zone target for him, and that's what I like about him. You know, you look at the other wideouts, Thielen's pretty crafty. Diggs is a big play guy, but you get inside in the red zone and it kind of, you know, mitigates some of the speed advantages some of these guys have, and you need a bigger target. And I like Rudolph for that. He's definitely in that solid 3rd tier. He might even be at the top of that tier ahead of Eifert and Ertz. I think they're pretty close. Martellus Bennett also for Green Bay, now that he's working with Rodgers, I think belongs in that discussion too. But yeah, I like him a lot. The only thing I don't like is I think he's getting drafted as if he's a 2nd tier tight end often. I think you're going to come up find the production wanting for the draft cost. If he drops to the 8th or 9th round, then yeah, I'm all over him. But I'm not going to take him in the 5th round just to push up another tight end.
I'll go back to the sleeper side. What's your tight end, tight end sleeper?
I like Jack Doyle on the Colts. I think that they kind of clear the deck for him. If you're in a deep league, I've actually played in one league where we're required to use 2 tight ends. His teammate Eric Swoop is another one I kind of like. I think that another one that is going to have a little bit of a bust-out season maybe might be Austin Hooper with Atlanta in a 2nd year. Usually, you know, tight ends don't do much in their rookie year. That's why I'm probably certainly not going to have O.J. Howard this year. I think his teammate Cameron Brate might have a bigger lumber this year, and I don't like the cost it's getting to get Howard. So I think I'd actually go Brate as a sleeper too. But Austin Hooper, especially with that soft NFC South defenses that'll be facing, I think that's also another good spot.
Jeff, tell our listeners about the RotoWire magazine that's out on rotowire.com.
Sure thing. In the magazine, we have our the bread and butter is our player profiles. We go really deep at position, and of course, it's supposed to be evergreen. It's something that, you know, the magazine goes to the printer in June. So we're trying to analyze players' skills. It's not going to have the latest news, but we have a bunch of good strategy articles. We even have a college football draft guide because college fantasy football is a thing. We have a strategy for best ball league that's become a big trend in our industry, and of course, daily fantasy football. And then on the website itself, that's where, you know, that's our base product. And people, like you mentioned, the free trial. You can check out all of our player news, our updated projections, cheat sheets, dollar values for auction leagues, DFS articles as we get closer to the season. There's a whole lot of tools to help you win your league.
Fantasy football analysis from Jeff Erickson, expert at rotowire.com. Check out the website and get a free 10-day trial at rotowire.com/free. Jeff, thanks for joining us this week. We greatly appreciate it, and good luck this season.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Anytime. Take care.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, there you go. Jeff Erickson, expert at rotowire.com, helping you with your upcoming fantasy football draft, analyzing the running back and tight end positions. Mike Varell and Sean talked to Jeff earlier this week about the quarterback and wide receiver positions. If you missed that, it's available at WSBTradio.com. Just go to the on-demand section. And, of course, you can always go to the iTunes or Google Play Store and search WSBT and sign up for the podcast to be sent to your favorite device so you can enjoy the program whenever you would like. And you can check out that interview with Jeff from Tuesday talking quarterbacks and wide receivers. It is 23 minutes after 6 o'clock. Sean Steyers, Darren Pritchett with you on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. Sean will host Rapid Fire coming up next on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. Here.